Welcome to our Holy Thursday service. It is so good to see all you here tonight and all those who are joining us on our live stream as well. We are so glad that you're here. It is Holy Night. And tonight we are going to remember the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciple, that Jesus shared with his disciples. And we are going to share this holy meal tonight with each other together. So it's going to be a night, a spirit-filled night. And this table is open to all those who want to come forward. It's not a table only for Florist people. It's not a table only for United Methodists. But it is open to anyone who wants to meet Jesus Christ through this holy meal. When you come forward to receive the communion, we invite you to come with your hands outstretched like this, like a beggar seeking to receive the grace. And we will place a piece of bread on your hand, and then you will receive it. You will dip into the cup and then receive it. And we are going to pray tonight. We are going to remember this holy meal tonight that Jesus Christ shared with his disciples. So let us begin with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Holy Jesus, tonight we remember how you ate with all kinds of people, rich and poor, sinners and saints. You encouraged children to come to you, and you welcomed those who often felt left out. Tonight, you come here, remember the last meal you shared with your disciples. And we come to ask that you welcome us just as you welcomed others so long ago. Help us be one in you and united in your message of love and peace. Help us walk with you from this meal toward your cross. Give us the courage to face our own sin as we look fully on the depth of your love. Amen.
Please stand as you're able as we join together in our first song.
He loves us.
Please be seated.
Now, before the festival of Passover, Jesus knew that his time had come. His time to return to the Father and leave this world. Having loved his own, well, his own, who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. So Jesus and his disciples were enjoying the evening meal. And the devil had already provoked Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray Jesus. But Jesus knew that the Father had already given everything into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to return to God. So, Jesus got up from the table and took off his outer robe. He grabbed a linen towel and tied it around his waist. And then he grabbed a basin. And he poured water in it. And with this water, Jesus himself, got down and started to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he was wearing around his waist. Now, when Jesus got to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will understand soon." Well, Peter exclaimed, "No, you will never wash my feet." But Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no place with me." So of course, Peter then said, "Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head also." But then Jesus said, "Those who have already bathed need only to have their feet washed, because they are already completely clean. You disciples are clean, but not every one of you." You see, Jesus already knew who was going to betray him. That's why he said, "Not every one of you is clean."
Me out. Jesus was deeply disturbed and testified, "I assure you, one of you will betray me." His disciples looked at each other confused about which one of them was he talking about. Leaning back towards Jesus, one disciple, the one that Jesus loved, asked, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "Is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread once I have dipped into the bowl." Then he dipped the piece of bread and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After Judas received the bread, Satan entered into him. And Jesus told him, "What you're about to do, do quickly." No one at the table understood why Jesus said that to him. So when Judas took the bread, he left immediately. Once Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Little children, I am with you only for a little while longer. You will look for me, but as I told the Jewish leaders, and I also tell you now, when I'm going, you can't come. I give you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you also must love each other. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, when you love each other." Simon Peter said, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I'm going, you can follow me now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can I follow you now? I'll give up my life for you." And Jesus replied, "Will you give up your life for me? I assure you that you will deny me three times before the rooster crows."
Thirsty with nothing left to give or the shape that we breathe. just when all hope seemed lost. Love opened a door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Come meet this motley crew of misfits, these liars and these thieves. There's no one and welcome here. So that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you.
Don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I will send another companion to you. The Father will send a companion to you. This companion will be with you forever, and it is the Spirit of truth. Those of the world won't be able to see or understand, but you will be able to see. Because you know me, you will be able to see the Spirit. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Do not be afraid. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. I have told you that I am leaving, but I am coming back to you. You will know when I come back. Because I live, you will also live. Before I go, I want you to share this meal with me. Whenever you eat this bread, and whenever you drink this cup, you will remember. You will remember this night, and you will remember me. You know that I am in my Father, because you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them knows me, and will know the Spirit of truth. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't let them be afraid. You heard me tell you that I'm going away, but I am coming back. The Spirit will come and be with you. I have told you this now before it happens, so that when it happens, you will know and you will believe. Now let us pray together. We praise you, eternal God, sovereign of the universe, creator of us all. Pour out your Spirit on all of us gathered here and on this cup and this bread so that we might know your great love for us. Make us one with you and one with each other so that we might be one in ministry to the world. Amen. My friends, you should know this. This table is for everyone. Whatever you carry tonight, wherever you come from tonight, this table is open to you. Come and receive.
Wounded and forsaken, I was shattered by the fall. Broken and forgotten, feeling lost and all alone. Summoned by the King into the Master's courts, lifted by the Savior, cradled in his arms. I was carried to the table, seated where I don't belong, carried to the table, swept away by his love. And I don't see my brokenness anymore. When I'm seated at the table of the Lord, I'm carried to the table. The table of the Lord. Fighting thoughts of fear, wondering why he called my name. Am I good enough? Share this cup, this world has left me lame. Even in my weakness, the Savior called my name. In his holy presence, I'm healed and unashamed. As I'm carried to the table, seated where I don't belong. Swept away by his love. And I don't see my brokenness anymore. When I'm seated at the table of the Lord, I'm carried to the table. Table of the Lord. was carried to the table, seated where I don't belong. Carried to the table, swept away by His love. And I don't see my brokenness anymore when I'm seated at the table of the Lord. Carried to the table of the Lord. You carried me, my God. You carried me. You carried me, my God. You carried me. You carried me, my God. You carried me, you carried me, my God, 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 you carried me, you carried me, my God. Carry me. Come on, you weary,
If you'd please stand as you're able, we're going to sing a little bit of that song together. Carolyn, can you put it to verse 2? There is peace.
There is peace at the table of the Lord.
Would you bow your heads and let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, you do invite us to your table, and we come as we are, and you welcome us. And so, Holy God, we pray that your blessing would be upon us now and always. Amen.
My prayer is not for these disciples alone. I also pray for all of those, everyone, who will believe in me because of their word. I pray that they will be one, Father. As I am in you and you are in me, let them be in us, so that the whole world can know that you have sent me. I've given them my glory, which you gave me, so that they can be one, just as we are one. I'm in them, and you are in me, so that they may be made perfectly one. And then the whole world will know, the whole world will know that you have sent me, and that you have loved them, just as you have loved me. Father, I want those that you gave me to be with me where I am. Then they will see my glory, which you gave me, because you loved me even before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, this world does not know you, but I know you. And these ones, they know that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them, and I will continue to make your name known to them, so that your love for me will be in them, and that I myself will be in them.
Those words that Jonathan just shared from the scripture, from the Gospel of John, those are last words. Not last words before death, but last words before everything began that led to death. Have you ever wondered what your last words will be? Have you ever thought about that? I know most of us are just thinking, I just hope it won't be soon. What would your last words be? Jesus' last words were actually a last prayer. Everything that you just heard was a prayer. And Jesus prayed not only for his disciples who were there, those who gathered in the room, the 12. He prayed for all those who would believe through them, which means that that night Jesus prayed for us. The people sitting in this room and people who are sitting in sanctuaries across our globe during Holy Week. All sorts of types of Christians, all coming together during this Holy Week. It's interesting, in the Gospel of John, there are 3 days where Jesus is arrested, crucified, and buried. And John only takes 2 chapters to tell us what happens there. If my estimation is correct, there's about 24 hours in the time from when, and probably not even 24 hours, in the time from when Jesus begins this moment, shares a Last Supper, in John's gospel, washes the feet of the disciples, and makes his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And John gives that 4 chapters. It's as though John is saying, there's not a word, there's not a last word I want to miss. You need to know all of this. Now, Jesus knows that his hour is near. He knows that he has already been betrayed. He knows that soon he'll walk to the garden where he and his disciples sometimes went to pray, there in the Kidron Valley. He knows that when he arrives there, soldiers will come and they will arrest him. He knows. And he knows that he will eventually be crucified. And he knows that time is near. So these final words, these are important words to him. These are words that he knows really matter. When you know that your words may be your final words, I can only guess that you choose them very carefully. You wouldn't want to just waste words. You wouldn't talk about the weather, would you? I like your outfit. I don't think that would be said. I think if you knew the words you were saying were your last words, they would be some of the most important words you'd ever say. I recall a news segment one time on television, and there were a group of Marines that were headed to Afghanistan, and in the foreground there was a reporter, and he was just talking and talking, and behind him there were these Marines that were hugging family members and hugging children, and they were saying goodbye, and I don't even know what the reporter said. It was just talk and talk. What I was curious about was looking past the reporter at those Marines, looking in the eyes of their loved ones, and what I want to know is, what are they saying? But they were such moments of intense words. Here, here. What's the thing you say when you fear it may be the last thing you'll ever say? Jesus' last words were a prayer. And probably you know that moment too, right? The moment when you realize that it's no longer in your hands. That you don't need to say anything else. You don't need to give one more instruction. That the instruction you just gave has probably already been forgotten. The moment where you just release it. And then you begin to pray, because prayer is the one thing you can offer to the people that you won't see anymore. In a moment, in that moment, Jesus prays not only for his disciples, but for all of us, you and me. And he says in that prayer many things, but this one sentence captures what most people believe is the summary statement for the whole prayer. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them, and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. He's inviting us to enter the unity that he, Jesus, experiences in the Holy Trinity. He said, I pray that they can be like that. And then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me, he says to the Father. This final prayer is for the unity of his followers. But what kind of unity does he pray for? I mean, surely he's not praying for a unity where everybody agrees on everything. Those 12 guys behind him, most of them are fishermen. One of them's a former tax collector. A couple of them are tradesmen. One guy is a zealot. That's when zealot was a noun, not an adjective. Now, if you think that those guys are all going to agree on anything, I think you're wrong. What's the unity? I doubt it's the unity of unanimity, where everybody says the same thing, does the same thing. I mean, just read the four Gospels. It's just so clear that in the early church, people who knew the story of Jesus' life heard different parts at a different volume. And sometimes, things that this one remembered, this one over here didn't even recall. It's not the unity of unanimity. I think Jesus is praying for the unity of love. He wanted his disciples, he said, to love each other and love the world as much as he did. And this is a man who is in the process of saying, as you heard on Sunday, a very hard yes. He knew he was going to make his sacrifice, that it would open the door to the redemption of humanity. He knew that human history would never be the same, and he was not going to avoid that hardship. He was not going to avoid what he must do to declare his love for the world. Jesus never lived in some protective religious bubble that was free of sin and free of conflict. He lived in the world that we live in. Jesus, though, loved that world. He loved it so much, he lived in it and died for it. But he was not of the world. And so one way Jesus was different from the values of this world is that he lived out what we now call the rule of love. A new commandment I give unto you, he said. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must also love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. He expected his disciples to be united by love. A love that they would show one another, that they would demonstrate to one another. The importance of the unity of love is that it's always apparent when you're in the type of moment that Jesus was in at exactly that moment. It's easy to see the power and importance of love when you're in a time of crisis, isn't it? I mean, doesn't it just sort it out so quickly? Even with people you don't even know, in a time of real crisis, you'll just throw out everything else. Suffering, death, or when people are working to accomplish a goal, some great and worthy goal that they know they can't do on their own, you'll see suddenly the unity of love. Many of us have been watching World War II films these days. Dunkirk, did you see that? Wore me out, I was exhausted. And then the Churchill film, what was that called? the darkest hour. Did you see that? The darkest hour and the bombs falling on London. And every morning, they would get up and walk around and just see who was still alive and what buildings were still standing. And did you notice that during that time when the bombs were falling on London and the people of London got up, that great city, and they walked through the rubble, there were no political arguments. There was no, well, your side's wrong and my side's right. There were no churches that argued theology at that moment. There were no neighbors that bickered over the hedgerow. None of that. You got up and you saw what needed to be done and you helped your neighbor bury their dead and you moved the rubble and then you helped people find one more night's lodging. It was the rule of love. That's the reason those people persevered and saved the world. And Jesus is kind of saying to his disciples, I'm going to pray for you that you don't have to have a big crisis to love one another. Such a prayer. Division. So easy. But the truth is, it's really only available to us when there's plenty of security and plenty of resources to go around so that everybody can take theirs and go do their own thing. But Jesus knew that if we were ever going to be obedient to him and to live in this world, we would need to be unified in the love that we showed for one another. And so Jesus prays for us in these last words because he knows that love and the way that we treat each other, it just so matters. It matters how you treat your neighbor. It matters what comes out of your mouth. It matters what you give your life to. My new commandment, he says, that you would love one another. And then they'll know that I am in you as the Father was in me. Recently, I heard a police officer speak, John Sutherland. He talked about the principle of forensic science called Locard's exchange principle. Locard was a French forensic scientist. He was sort of a forerunner in that field. And he had a simple premise that has guided forensic science ever since. Every contact leaves a trace. If a thief breaks into a home, wherever they step, whatever they touch, whatever they leave behind, even unconsciously, will serve as a silent witness against them. Not only fingerprints and footprints, but hair and fibers of clothing, the glass the thief breaks, the blood that trickles from their hand, all of that is left behind is evidence that we'll never forget. And Sutherland talked about how that principle applies not just to forensic science, but to human relationships. And now I'm quoting him. He says, every two people who come into contact with each other, every exchange that takes place leaves a mark of some sort. Whether between lifelong friends or passing strangers, we encourage or we ignore. We hold out our hand to another or we take it away. We walk towards them or we walk back. Everything you do, it leaves some piece of evidence behind of who you were, the kind of person you were, what you stood for, or times when you didn't have enough courage to stand. Sutherland says, every single contact leaves a trace in the way we treat and regard one another. It matters. It really matters. And Jesus prays about the unity of love because he knows that matters. And that's why he gave us the meal, to fortify us for the journey, to remind us that his love is physically in us, so that his love can be extended through us, that others might know the great love of God. Because from love comes respect and compassion and gratitude. From love comes charity and humility and grace. From love comes just enough harmony to experience the unity that Jesus tells us is at the very heart and nature of God. If you love, you will know him. And if you don't love, you won't even know what I'm talking about right now. So think about for just a moment your family. Can you picture them, your family? Picture for a moment your friendships. Can you picture just two friends in your mind? Picture your church or your community or your world. And let me ask you a Holy Week question as you hold those people and those spaces in your mind. Do you, do I, fulfill Jesus' commandment in his prayer for love? Do you live in relationships where you dependably love one another? A new commandment I give unto you, he said, that you would love your neighbor. Amen.
He went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now, Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples.
Love that not only went to the cross for us, but before doing that, prayed, asked God for help, and asked God to be with us. So now may we go tonight in peace and in unity through prayer. Let us journey with Jesus to the garden and to the cross. Amen.